W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is optimistic about gaining ground on Donald Trump after scoring second place in the Iowa caucus.
We thank you for your support. You helped us get a ticket punched out of the Hawkeye State.
The candidates move on to New Hampshire next. Parts of upstate New York got hit with more than 3 feet of snow, forcing people like Jeremy Joy to dig out of it. He's in West Seneca.
The challenging part is finding a spot for me to put all this.
Northern Michigan got about 30 inches of snow. Parts of North Carolina, more than a foot. An accused killer has been linked to the death of a fourth woman on Long Island, New York. Suffolk County DA Ray Tierney.
This indictment marks a change in the investigation. The grand jury investigation of the so-called Gilgo Four is over. It has been concluded.
Rex Heuermann's latest alleged victim was a mother of two from Connecticut who disappeared in New York in 2007. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. There's a new member of the Wisconsin Public Service Commission after the state Senate fired Tyler Huebner this afternoon. Governor Evers is appointing Christy Nieto to take his place. Senate Republicans have fired eight of Evers' appointees since last fall. The keynote speaker at this year's State of Wisconsin Martin Luther King Day celebration says he wants the promise of justice one day to happen today.
It is ridiculous that people are attacking diversity, equity, and inclusion, but refuse to implement laws to remove guns from the hands of those who continue to shoot innocent children in schools, in malls, and even in faith places.
The Reverend Marcus Allen is a Baptist minister in Madison. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, January 17th. In Wood County, the Local Emergency Planning Committee will meet at 1 at the courthouse. The Central Wisconsin Economic Development Fund, Inc. will meet at 1:30 by teleconference. The McMillan Memorial Library Board of Trustees will meet at 5 in the McCourt Conference Room at the library. In Portage County, the Stevens Point Administrative Appeals Board will meet at 4 in the City Conference Room on Strong's Avenue. The Portage County Healthcare Center Committee will meet at 5 at the Portage County Annex in Conference Rooms 1 and 2. In Adams County, the Housing Authority will meet from 2:30 to 3:30 at 350 East Liberty Street in Adams. Remember that January is Radon Action Month in Wisconsin. You can pick up a radon test kit for $5 at the Wisconsin Rapids Health Department office or the Marshfield City Hall. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
The Packers get ready for the 49ers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Green Bay taking on the 49ers Saturday night in the divisional playoffs at Levi's Stadium. But concern outside linebacker Kingsley J.J. Enagbare suffered a torn ACL in his right knee late in the fourth quarter in Dallas. Matt LaFleur says it's a huge loss.
I'll tell you what, man. I can't say enough great things about him. And I just love his play style.
College basketball, the Marquette Golden Eagles got a much-needed win over Villanova 87-74 before the game. Former Marquette and NBA star Dwayne Wade spoke to the team and then donated $3 million to improve the basketball facility and fund scholarships and reading programs.
If you've ever had a conversation with a parent that kid has been impacted by something you've done, it's no greater feeling. My sister and I, my family and I have always been about understanding that even in the moments in life where we haven't had a lot, we've still been blessed enough to have something.
That's Dwayne Wade with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Another brutally cold day with blustery winds and frigid wind chills. As highs today struggle to get above zero, it'll be feeling more like 20 to 15 below. A little less sun out there today under mostly cloudy skies, but that'll allow our temperatures not to plummet as cold tonight. Right now, it's 1 degree.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide and live on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. A lot of it made last night in Iowa. Nothing halfway about the Iowa greeting. If they greet you, which they may not do at all. I think that comes from the Music Man. Iowa. Well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about the effects of it and some surprising little wrinkles that a lot of people didn't pay attention to came out of last night. Let's start with what Donald Trump said before the caucus. This is class with a capital K, this guy, unbelievable. Here's what he said. He put out a statement. He said, quote, and this is symptomatic of what he's going to do in the elections. For instance, the Wisconsin primary in April, especially the November election is coming this year, 2024. He said, quote, be on the lookout for dirty tricks on caucus night. This is what he said in advance. Be on the lookout for dirty tricks. Quote, don't listen to any dishonest rhinos or globalists. You can't sit home. If you're sick as a dog, even if you vote and pass away, it's worth it, end quote. Now, this guy is a sociopath. This guy doesn't care about anything other than himself. And everything is anticipatory. If he loses, it's fraud. If he doesn't, he would have won by more if it hadn't been for fraud. He's all about fraud because he is a fraud. But here's what he said right at the beginning, right at the get-go. Quote, be on the lookout for dirty tricks. At caucus night, don't listen to any dishonest rhinos or globalists. You can't sit home. You're sick as a dog. Even if you vote and pass away, it's worth it. Well, it's not worth it to me. I mean, I wouldn't vote for him anyway, but even if I were going to vote for him, somebody's going to vote for him. It's not worth it to me to croak because I voted. But this is the kind of guy he is. And people think that's funny. I think it's pathetic. It's humorous in a bizarre way that the clown could say it and somehow, what, motivate people by saying something like that? Well, here's what happened. Watch the caucuses. You may have watched a slug of them, too. I've had personal experience with them. As I said, in 2008, I was down at the Iowa caucuses 15, 16 years ago. Trump won the caucus vote. No surprise. He got 51%. But that translated to 56,000 votes. Do you know how few people voted in this thing? And it wasn't just the weather. The weather, The weather did drive it down. They did say there's one woman in one gymnasium somewhere in a gym, and she goes, well, you know, the last time we had 1,700 people here, now it's 1,200. To me, that's clearly weather-related, or largely weather-related. DeSantis came in second, 21% of the vote, 23,000 votes. Nikki Haley came in third with 19% of the vote, 21,000 total votes. But if you add up Trump, DeSantis, and Haley, it comes to 100,000 votes. That's almost all of them. Vivek Ramaswamy got a little under 8%. What would that be, 9,000 votes, something of that nature. This isn't a state with more than 3 million people. 3 million people. These levels of votes are something you'd see in a state legislative race in Wisconsin. And everybody's making a big deal out of it. This is amazing, they say. What do you mean it's amazing? In a state of over 3.2 million, about 109,000 people voted, roughly, maybe a little more. That's it. I see you on the lines. I'm going to go to you in a second. However, there's an exit poll that is very, very interesting. I want to tell you about it right now. Everybody today has been talking about what does this mean for New Hampshire? What does this mean for South Carolina, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't mean a damn thing for New Hampshire or South Carolina. And I think it was in the last 20 years or so, whoever won the primary in Iowa did not go on to win the presidency or even be the nominee, I think. This thing is an antiquated way of picking a candidate. Democrats got rid of it. They don't use it anymore. When I went down there in 2008, one of my principal objections was that you had to do it publicly. So if you voted for somebody who's unpopular, let's say Bernie Sanders, and you were in a business where the boss didn't like Bernie Sanders, you could get hurt on your job. The Republicans got rid of that part of it, apparently. So everybody goes in and listens to various clowns giving their pitches, and then they vote, and it's marked. So technically, it's not as public. I've never been convinced that people don't find out in these kinds of things. But the other thing I want to say, and this is fascinating, Trump is losing younger people, even in the Republican Party. If they nominate Trump, they have written off the 18 to 34-year-olds. And why do I say that? The exit polls last night show that only 21% of young Republicans, 18 to 34, voted for Trump. DeSantis beat him with 35%. Trump had 21%. Haley came in third. And then Ramaswamy got 21%, just like Trump. Ramaswamy, for God's sake. The Republican Party people, voters, 18 to 34, are the only Republican age group where Trump doesn't have majority support. You know, younger people are idealistic. I don't care if they're Democrats or Republicans. They don't put up with a lot of baloney. It's not easy to pull the wool over their eyes. They see a guy like Trump who stabbed so many people, betrayed so many people. He's a criminal enterprise. He's crime on the hoof, attacking our democracy. But more importantly, all these people that were loyal to him are either in jail or they're indicted or they're bankrupt, and he doesn't care. And he says things like, could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue, the whole bit. Going to the lines, Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Dick. What's in your mind today?
I couldn't agree with you more. It's the biggest nothing burger out there, this stupid thing. Here's the thing, too, Matt. There were some statistics on the you're talking about barely over 100,000 people. And I told my wife, I bet you that's not even 20% of the electorate. Guess what? It's about 13%. And out of that, the actual total electorate, it's like 3% of eligible voters in that state. And I, at the risk of repeating myself, I said this morning, this isn't their stick down there. Stick to raising hogs and growing corn. You're good at that.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of good folks in Iowa, and they, a lot of them didn't vote. If you have 3.2 million people, we in Wisconsin, I think, have about 5.5 million, but in Iowa, you know, you have the tail wagging the dog. I mean, you have a couple of over a little over 100,000, but these are all kind of insiders and largely insiders and people that, like this sort of thing. This isn't representative of Iowa. Now, Iowa, they do take polls that go beyond this. And this result roughly did mirror the polls. I think that one of the reasons that DeSantis came in second, that surprised a lot of folks, is because Kim Reynolds, the governor, was for him, and she used her organization to get out the vote. But with Trump, the question is, what does this do? I think it was expected. I don't think he got any more votes than anybody thought he was going to get. And he goes to New Hampshire. It's a demographically very different state from Iowa. He might win it. Nikki Haley might win it. DeSantis might do a little better than people think. Going back to the lines, Wisco Paul. Thanks for calling, Wisco Paul. What's in your mind today?
Good afternoon, Matt. I agree with Dick. The thing is, the media hyped this thing up into it was they didn't really talk about the turnout so much. And when you look at the turnout, it's really not a good example of probably even how an Iowa voter feels. But it is a bad look for Iowa that Trump, with all the stuff he has against him, the baggage, if you will, would win that primary anyway. But I think you're going to know a lot more when New Hampshire and South Carolina, when their primaries actually, well, they're really actually primaries. But it's a bad look for Iowa, in my estimation. And I hold the media responsible. And then they had him, like CNN, they let him speak, and he started off kind of okay, and then he went into a diatribe, man. It's a very spooky thing. So, I mean, it really is. It's really spooky.
Well, get used to
this guy.
All right, Paul, thanks a lot for calling. I always love your calls. Cindy of Appleton, my friend. Thanks for calling, Cindy. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Matt, I'm hanging in there with the cold, but the thing that bothers me about this Trump win is this imbecile criminal is going to use this, obviously, to his benefit, spew more lies, make it sound like the world is in support of him. So that's the problem I have with this, is the spewing and spinning of the lies that he's going to tell to make it even worse.
Yeah, that's a very, very perceptive insight into it, frankly. You know, this guy, first of all, he starts out trashing the whole thing. You know, don't talk to the rhinos, don't talk to the globalists. You know, there's fraud on the hoof, all this kind of stuff, just in case he underperforms. He knew he was going to win. I mean, the polls showed it, but he, you know, and he didn't overperform. This is exactly on the money of the polls is what it was. And it slightly increased DeSantis's turnout. We didn't anticipate that. And Haley was right next to him. So, the guy's a blowhard. These guys are blowhard, and he betrays people who support him. They go to jail. They get bankrupt. They're indicted. They get broke on attorney's fees. They get dragged through the mud, and this guy is walking along. They're holding onto his ankles. He kicks them and back into the mud. Thanks a lot for calling, Cindy. Okay, we're going to step away for just a little bit, and then we're back. The E. Jean Carroll case is going on as we speak, and some developments coming right away.
Gotta cut you down, sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
If you're looking forward to getting out on the bay or lake to ice fish or snowmobile, colder temperatures are here, but consider this.
Well, in a normal winter, starting sometimes Thanksgiving, ice starts to form. This year, we are a full 5-6 weeks behind our ice making.
That's Tom Derzwicki from Bayside Ice and Recovery in Suamico. He's been rescuing people and their trucks after falling through thin ice for more than 20 years.
The snow and the slush will cover up some bad spots. If you're on the pressure crack and you see snow and slush, you know that crack, it appears to be maybe a foot 2 feet wide, but on each side of that crack, you could have 10, 15 feet of bad ice on each side of that crack.
DNR officials say check with locals who know the conditions, but also know ice safety is never 100%.
Mother Nature doesn't care. If you're falling through, you're falling through.
300,000 people ice fish in Wisconsin. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Ben to Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. Ben, what's in your mind today?
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Sure can, Ben. Go ahead.
Yeah, listen, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but one of the things that I've been thinking about here recently is the fact that the people that are on waiting in the border and the people that are waiting and coming in hundreds and hundreds, I just wonder how much the Republicans have to do for some of the people on the other side have to do with the with spreading the word that this might be the last opportunity to get a chance to come to the U.S., you know, because people want to come to the U.S. Being from South America myself, I know what the pull is, you know, to come, economics and all kinds of other things. So I just wondered if there was anything to what I believe in and to what I'm thinking about, that it might have something to do with the people piling up waiting to get in and causing a big commotion and mess that we have on the border, and then blaming the Democrats or the blaming Biden for the mess. I remember when Carter was running for office, and we had the hostages in Iran and the dirty tricks they pulled on Carter, especially on the one with the first person running for the presidency. And you know, they pull all kinds of dirty tricks all the time, and it's just not not spoken about or not out in public. So, yep. Just wondered.
Yeah, very 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 interesting observation. Let me give you a quick history on that. The Republican Party has used dirty tricks that have really betrayed the United States in several presidential elections. Let's go back to 1968. Nixon was running against Humphrey, and the Democrats had already started the Paris Peace Accords. In other words, there was going to be a sitting down with the North Vietnamese to come to some kind of resolution of the Vietnam War. The Nixon people behind him and his foreign policy types worked covertly behind the scenes to delay that, to put a knife in it, so that there wasn't a foreign policy victory like that for Hubert Humphrey. And Hubert Humphrey lost the popular vote by 300,000 votes, 300,000 votes nationally. That's, in those days, the Republicans would win the popular vote, and they haven't done that in a while. So that was an example. Another example was Reagan and Carter and the hostages by Iran. Remember, there was a Shah of Iran before that. He was deposed. He came to New York for medical treatment, and they deposed him while he was gone. And these fundamentalist types took over the Revolutionary Guard, and they captured, I think it was over 400 hostages. Kevin Hermaning from Wisconsin up in the Stevens Point area was one of them. And they held them there for, well, it was a long time. I think it was over a year. In any event, Carter had started the process to get them back, and it looked like it was going to bear fruit. And the Republicans under Reagan worked behind the scenes to have Iran delay it so that it wouldn't happen before the campaign. And obviously Carter took a hit on that and lost the election. So on the immigration thing, Ben, I would say this. Something's got to be done. You can't have voters every night on TV watching migrants walking around Chicago and New York and all this. And there are negotiations right now between the Republicans and the Democrats on a solution that would satisfy everybody. I heard today, or read today, that Mike Johnson, the House Speaker right now, has told his caucus privately that he's going to reject it. And I think part of that is they want to keep pressure on Biden. As far as who's coming over the border, my view is this. I think people from South America, Central America, Mexico are very, very much in our cultural and democratic tradition. And they're very hard workers, and they are enormous contributors to our culture. I also think that there are people flying into Mexico City from China, from the Middle East, from Africa, who don't share our culture. In some cases, they're on the watch list, the terror watch list. And we've caught a number of them, but you can't be certain you caught every one. So something's got to be done down there. I'm not one of these people who thinks that somehow it's bad that there are people from South and Central America and Mexico coming in. I think that they are very, very consistent with our culture, our democracy, our freedom, and so on. I do agree with you that almost all of them are economic migrants. They're not refugees. They're not being persecuted for their faith or their race, where they come from. They come from countries that embody their faith and their race. So that this kind of thing has got to stop, that somehow all they have to do is utter the word refugee or something, and then they get sent out in the population and never come back. We have to control it. We can't have unlimited migration. That said, Biden and the Republican leadership, Mitch McConnell and Lankford of Oklahoma, are negotiating that. Mike Johnson is apparently trying to put a stick in it to stop people or stop Biden from having a victory on this issue, and it's going to keep going on. With regard to your other question, whether somehow the word is going out that it may shut down, Trump's not going to win. He's not going to beat Joe Biden. Trump is not doing well between 18 and 34-year-olds and people in their late 50s, 60s, and older. So it's going to be a close race. Joe Biden's going to win. The impetus is, well, we should go into these countries and then improve conditions so they don't want to migrate. They're always going to want to migrate. The United States is the wealthiest, freest country in the history of the world, including right now. So they're always going to want to come in. It's important, yeah, to make things better for them in their home countries. That's in our interest. And they may be afraid that they can't come in after Trump, but Trump's not going to win. But the point of the matter is, at some point, there are going to be greater controls at the border. So they're all coming up. They have caravans coming up. And that's got to be, you can't have it that way. If you're a nation, you have to have borders. It's as simple as that. We are very lucky that the migrants we're getting are coming from our culture. In France and elsewhere in Europe, they're coming from the Middle East and North Africa, and they've had nothing but violence, nothing but churches and cathedrals blown up, burned, Jewish people attacked, although some of that's starting to seep into this country too. That's got to be stopped. We're not going to tolerate that. Not going to tolerate that at all. Okay, we didn't get to E. Jean Carroll. We're going to get to it. Coming up, a lot of news and weather. E. Jean Carroll, and then the seven maps that the Supreme Court is going to consider. And I have communicated with one of the authors, and there's some very, very interesting data in these maps coming up.
Hometown News Talk and Sports Station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Marshfield Clinic workers across Wisconsin are being furloughed. 3% of the nearly 12,000 people who work for the healthcare system have to take unpaid time off. The furloughs come after a round of budget cuts in November and after talks about a merger with Essentia Health fell through last week. Wisconsin is one of many states without a defined formula for deciding alimony payments in divorce court.
And they go to a judge and they say, okay, you decide, what should the alimony amount be? And if that's you going in, you have no idea what to expect.
That's Shay Drefts. She's with Custody Exchange. That's a firm that helps families navigate divorce. Her company's research recommends Wisconsin put a formula into law. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Winter driving season is here, and our highway departments are working hard to make sure we have safe roads.
If you see green and yellow lights on a truck, they're out there for your protection and trying to make the roads safe.
John Bangart is the Marathon County Highway Department Operations Supervisor. He said keeping your speed down is one of the best ways to improve safety.
First of all, please slow down. My drivers like to get home at night too.
Snowplows are out prepping roads before a storm and removing snow during bad conditions.
Try not to pass them. I know there are times where there's long lines of traffic behind our plows. They're out there for your safety, and it's best not to pass them. Just follow behind them.
You need to stay at least 200 feet behind a working snowplow. If you can't see their mirrors, they can't see you. Be sure to give them plenty of room to do their work so they can make our roads as safe as possible this winter. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
The Packers get ready for the 49ers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Green Bay taking on the 49ers Saturday night in the divisional playoffs at Levi's Stadium. But concern outside linebacker Kingsley J.J. Enagbare suffered a torn ACL in his right knee late in the fourth quarter in Dallas. Matt LaFleur says it's a huge loss.
I'll tell you what, man. I can't say enough great things about him. And I just love his play style.
College basketball, the Marquette Golden Eagles got a much-needed win over Villanova 87-74. Before the game, former Marquette and NBA star Dwayne Wade spoke to the team and then donated $3 million to improve the basketball facility and fund scholarships and reading programs.
If you've ever had a conversation with a parent that kid has been impacted by something you've done, it's no greater feeling. My sister and I, my family and I have always been about understanding that even in the moments in life where we haven't had a lot, we've still been blessed enough to have something.
That's Dwayne Wade with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Another brutally cold day with blustery winds and frigid wind chills. As highs today struggle to get above zero, it'll be feeling more like 20 to 15 below. A little less sun out there today under mostly cloudy skies, but that'll allow our temperatures not to plummet as cold tonight. Right now, it's 1 degree.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 5:40.
I'm fixing a hole where the rain
Welcome back to Match Plan Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, Donald Trump is in a courtroom again in New York City, this time a federal courtroom. This is the E. Jean Carroll case, the second defamation case against him. The first one, the jury nailed him for $5 million. He did not show up at that trial. He had a lawyer named Tecapino who has since left him. He blamed counsel. He blamed the lawyer, saying you didn't need to show up because it's beneath you, blah, blah, blah. Well, I don't believe him that it was the lawyer. I think it was Trump that thought it was beneath him. And what he did not realize was that when you don't show up, the lawyer for the other side, especially if you're being sued for money, for a tort, for something like defamation, they get up in front of the jury and they go, Trump isn't even here. He didn't deny any of this. He's not here. He blew you off. He doesn't care. The jury sits there and folds their arms. They go, okay, well, this guy doesn't care. We don't care either. How about $5 million, Jack? That'll make you care a little more. Well, the thing is, he'll just steal it out of his campaign donations and say it's a cost of something or other. And it won't be prosecuted because if he puts up enough of an explanation, it won't be technically stealing. It'll be just peeling the case in the federal rules of arithmetic in his mind. But here's the deal. So he goes in the courtroom. He's sitting two tables behind E. Jean Carroll. And that's got to be very uncomfortable. This is a guy who a jury found he assaulted. She's a much younger woman. She's in a dressing room at Bergdorf Goodman. And there aren't any other clerks around. And he walks in and he throws her up against the wall and pulls up her skirt, puts his hand in her pants, and penetrates her with his fingers. That's what he did. So the judge in this case, federal judge, he is a no-nonsense guy. And as a federal judge, he doesn't have to run for re-election. And Trump brought a motion to delay the trial to go to his mother-in-law's funeral this week. Judge Kaplan denied it. Most judges would, you know, if he doesn't want to show up in court for the 2 hours at the funeral on Thursday, that's fine. But today ain't Thursday, it's Tuesday. And then he also said Trump, he really put him on a leash. He goes, Trump is forbidden from talking about the case within the earshot of jurors. He can't communicate with jurors directly or indirectly. Directly or indirectly. He said that the only issue is the amount of money Trump has to pay. He cannot deny that he raped E. Jean Carroll. Can't deny it. Jury has found it already. It's a fact already proven to a jury. That's good enough in this trial. And that's the law, by the way. That's the law. And so they will talk about her reputation. And it's not certain he'll testify. But if he testifies, he can't say that he didn't rape her. All he can say is, and he'd be crazy to testify, because all he could say is, well, my opinion, it didn't hurt her reputation that much. Well, you know, that's easy for him to say. The other thing is this. He is forbidden from objecting other than through his lawyer. Now, that's something that's kind of interesting, and it's normal. Most people don't fixate on it, because if you or I ever were a party to a case and had lawyers, we'd leave it to the lawyer. Even though I am a lawyer, lawyers who are clients of other lawyers don't interfere. Well, what they are afraid of is, and Trump has done this before, right in the middle of someone's testimony, they'll say, I object, they're lying, to try to communicate that to the jury. He can't do that here. He is forbidden from doing that here. And that's very, very common. In a jury trial, frequently you'll have another lawyer with you, usually a junior lawyer, to help you with the case. Sometimes you let that junior lawyer handle a witness, and they'll prepare and they'll ask the witness the questions. Almost every judge will forbid the two lawyers from teaming up. and from doing a 1-2. In other words, the junior lawyer questions the person for 10 minutes, and then I come in and they, no, they don't like that. It's one lawyer per witness. So only the judges can deal with these witnesses, and they're not going to let freelancing by an amateur like Trump. That's very good stuff. Trump is sitting there glowering. I don't know what he expects to prove. He's already been nailed for $5 million. This time around, he'll be nailed for something. He'll appeal again. He's forbidden from saying he didn't rape her because he did rape her. Another jury found that out. And then the appeal. He will appeal this. He's appealed the other one. The New York Court of Appeals, and this is a strange thing, so you should understand this. The states all have different names for their highest court. Usually it's the Supreme Court. So it's the Wisconsin Supreme Court, the Illinois Supreme Court. And then there's the Supreme Court in Washington, which is the 800-pound gorilla over everybody. New York's a little different. New York's highest court, the equivalent of a Supreme Court, they call it the Court of Appeals. And they use the words supreme and superior for entry-level courts. Okay, that's, they're entitled to do it. Well, their highest court, the Court of Appeals, is not an, it's their highest court. It's their Supreme Court. Just ruled today that Trump's appeal from the Engoron gag order, that's a state case very close to the federal case he's sitting there now today on, they're dismissed it. They're not even going to consider it. Why? Because they said, we've looked at it and we think it's frivolous. We don't think he raised a constitutional issue. So Judge Engoron's order, which was upheld by an intermediate appellate court, stands. And that's what's going to happen with the E. Jean Carroll $5 million defamation verdict. And that's what's going to happen this time around. But he continues to attack her, believe it or not, because it's not a gag order. I'll tell you how bad his lawyer is. His lawyer goes, we bring a motion, judge, to remove the gag order. You don't have jurisdiction to impose it. Kaplan looked at her and said, what are you talking about? I have not imposed a gag order. What I've imposed is that he can't talk about the case in the presence of jurors. And he will impose a gag order if he shoots his mouth off. Well, Trump, on Truth Social and on social media, has been attacking E. Jean Carroll mercilessly, saying things like, I don't know her. I don't remember her. Never heard of her. The reason why that is not enjoined, that is not forbidden by the judge, is because if he wants to get on the stand and says, I don't remember meeting her, he can do that, but he can't deny that he raped her. So what does he have, Alzheimer's? I'll tell you what. I think he has early onset argumentative dementia. I know three or four people. Most of them, they're in the 70s, one's in his early 80s who have dementia. One of them is argumentative. He has to be restrained. Trump goes around shooting his mouth off, insulting people. But in any event, we'll see what happens. But a leash has been put on him, and he's sitting there, and he's having a very, very bad afternoon. I want to talk about the maps. I want to talk about the maps that the Wisconsin Supreme Court is considering right now. And here's the deal on that. There's seven of them. There's seven of them from Law Forward, the plaintiffs' firms, from Tony Evers, Senate legislators who are Democrats, citizen mathematicians, they're called. I think these are UWM people. A fellow named Matthew Petering, who's an associate professor of industrial engineering at UWM, very smart guy. Will, that's the Wisconsin Institute for Law. You know, that's the Essenberg thing. They're a right-wing group. And the Wisconsin legislature. I've heard from Matthew Petering, and I've had an opportunity to look at his maps. They're in the record in front of the judges, the Supreme Court, and their experts will make a decision as to which maps they recommend. But I'll say this about Petering's map. This is a UWM map. Associate professor of industrial engineering and a very, very smart guy. Of all of them, and he put in a comparison of his maps against the other six, His are the most compact. They have the most compliance with what's called the 2% population deviation. What that means is, let's say an assembly seat should be 60,000. That's what it used to be. Let's say it's a little more now. That means the state Senate seat is 180,000. You're never going to find two of them that agree exactly to the number of people in it, but it has to be very close, the 2% population deviation. And he achieved that more accurately than any of the others. His are more compact than any of the others. His intrude splitting up counties and municipalities less than any of the others. And his are the most politically neutral. That's called the efficiency gap. It's really astonishing. The one that is the worst, that's clearly, I think, collusive, is the one from Will, the Wisconsin Institute of Law and whatever, the Essenberg thing. That's just a terrible map. I mean, you might as well just gerrymander the way they do now. The others are better. But one of the interesting things about all these maps, given the shift politically in this state, they give the Republicans a slight edge, but it's only a slight edge. You know, right now, the Republicans have a 2-to-1 edge, 22-to-11 in the state Senate, and almost 2-to-1 in the Assembly. I think it's 65-to-34, something like that. This would significantly reduce it. It would reduce the Republican Senate seats to 17 from 22, and it would reduce the Assembly seats to just a little over 50%. But when I say reduce them, remember something. There's no law that says how people vote. So if these people, it's possible that the Republicans could get more than that. They put up good candidates. It's also possible, it's incumbent on Democrats to put up good candidates. One of the terrible problems with gerrymander is you get the worst people in both parties because all they're doing is fighting in sky blue or ruby red districts and fighting to ward off primaries so they go to the edge. You take a look at the Republican Party. You have people who are Trump to the max because otherwise they'll be primaried. If they were 51-49 seats, they're not going to win with that. They've got to put up better candidates. And you know something? The same with the Democrats. We have seven legislators who have sided with Hamas over Israel, who have attacked Israel. In fact, there are two that belong to the Democratic Socialists of America. And they basically are anti-Israel, in my view, my opinion, simply from some of the things they've said. If this were a 51-49 district, there'd be primaries, and there should be primaries. You cannot have people that are that far to the left in the Democratic Party, and you can't have people that far to the right in the Republican Party. And one way to get rid of it is to have fair maps. These are as fair as you can get. And I'll tell you, Matt Petering's map, and I'm looking at this, and it's not a pro-democratic map. On compactness, retaining the integrity of municipalities, retaining the integrity of counties, on political neutrality, the 2% deviation, the efficiency gap, on all of them, the numbers are the best. In other words, the most neutral. The most neutral. I have no idea what these two experts are going to be doing. I have no idea what they're going to pick. But whatever they recommend, I'll tell you what, I think the Petering map has got to be very carefully considered. And quite frankly, even if the Republicans still win a few more seats, they're not going to win a gerrymandered, you know, surplus of seats, and we're going to have a lot of changes in that legislature. A lot of changes in that legislature. Okay, coming up, a new subpoena for Hunter Biden. What does that mean? Coming up. I'm fixing a hole where the rain gets in. Stops my mind from wandering where it will go. Where it will go. I'm fixing a hole where the rain gets in. Stops my mind.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Dynamite! Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome back to Methlin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'll tell you what, Comer, Kentucky, that's the guy, Republican, chairman of the Oversight Committee, Jim Jordan, Gymnasium Jim G.Y.M. Jordan, chairman of the Judiciary Committee, are issuing new subpoenas for Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden, you remember, did not blow off his subpoena. Jim Jordan blew his subpoena off, wasn't prosecuted. He said, screw you. Scott Perry blew his off. Mark Meadows blew the continuation of his off. So, but they want to prosecute Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden showed up. He said, I'll talk to you. I want it to be in public. And they originally had said it could be in public. But what they love to do is take the transcript and edit it. And they take excerpts and they twist things around and they put it out as gospel. And he said, I don't want that. I don't trust you guys. Comer's the guy who said that Biden should be impeached because Biden loaned his brother $200,000 and his brother repaid him. Turned out that Comer, quote, loaned, end quote, his brother $200,000 and his brother repaid him. Comer said, well, you know, some of these corporations, are they shell corporations? Turns out Comer has a shell corporation that was lapsed under Kentucky law and shouldn't have been doing business. And he has it to handle things that he gets from one of his big donors. These people are unbelievable. Hunter Biden said, hey, I have nothing to hide. I'll show up. Yeah, I was addicted to drugs. Yeah, I didn't pay taxes for a bit, and now I paid him with interest and penalties, okay? Like Roger Stone, like a lot of other people. So, yeah, I'll talk about that. They're issuing the new subpoena because I think they realized they were on thin ice trying to go after him with the other subpoena. He got up, remember, Nancy Mace referred to his private parts. I mean, these people are sick. And then Marjorie Taylor Greene was the one who brought in naked pictures of Hunter Biden to a committee hearing. What's she thinking? I mean, what was the chairman of that committee thinking? If I'm the chairman of that committee, somebody brings in naked pictures of a witness, I say, get out of here. I'd say to the sergeant-at-arms or the bailiff, what do they call them? Get out of here. Take that away. Burn it. Get the hell out of here. Did they say that? No, they didn't say that. They thought that was funny. They all laughed. They all inspected them. They all inspected them. Then they expect the guy of whom naked pictures were passed around in the committee to go, well, yeah, that's fine. I'll be happy to sit here and talk to you. I'll be happy to sit here. Well, I don't think so. I have a better solution. I do not know if they have a deal with Hunter Biden where he somehow okay, agrees to come, and they agree to have it public. I do not know that. I doubt it. I suspect they're issuing a new subpoena, and he'll still have the problem that they're going to do it in private, and then they'll edit it, and they'll lie about it. Comer and Jordan are two of the biggest liars in Congress, and that's saying a lot. I mean, that is saying a hell of a lot. I have an idea. Why doesn't Abby Lowell, whatever his name is, Hunter Biden's lawyer, do what I've done 100 times and other people have done? Bring a motion to quash or for a protective order. Go into federal court and say, Your Honor, I request an order in the alternative, either quashing the subpoena because I don't trust them, they're going to edit it and they've lied in the past, or in the alternative, let me bring a court reporter in to do a transcript of my own, or in the alternative, require them to give me the transcript so that I can publish it. It's a term of art. In other words, make it public to the media. And if it's going to be a video transcript, which it almost certainly will be, Your Honor, give me leave to get a copy of it. Require them to give me a copy, or they must do it in public. That's very, very common. It sounds like to me, if this Congress is thinking they're going to do a deposition of somebody and not give him a copy of it, that should be corrected by a federal judge. And if they're going to video him and not give him a copy of it, nowadays, photoshopping is very easy anyway. Very, very easy to distort a video or a transcript. And it's very sad when you think about it. We're talking about the U.S. Congress, the United States Congress, and we have to worry about this kind of thing. In the past, we've had a couple of rogue congressmen and senators, and we can think in history who they were, but you didn't have a pervasive instinct for fraud in one of the parties and for violence. You didn't have that in the past. And now you have it. So, not that my advice will be taken, but if Hunter Biden is smart, his lawyer will say, all right, it's in public, or I want an order saying we get a transcript and a video dub. And if you want, we'll agree not to publish it, as long as you don't publish anything about it. But if you publish anything about it, it's Katie bar the door, and then we are free to correct it. To me, that's eminently, eminently reasonable. You don't have to have gone to law school. That's pretty basic fairness, very, very basic fairness. Very basic. And when you get right down to what they're going after him for, and I know some people say, well, we don't care about him, and I don't either, quite frankly. Cam of Nina said a lot of the younger people don't much care about him. That's fine. But I do care about fairness, and I do care about photoshopping, and I do care about fraud, and I know that younger people do also, which is why most of them aren't supporting Trump. And to me, it seems eminently reasonable, quite frankly, to avoid fraud and to make it impossible for Comer and Jordan to defraud us. And that's what they're thinking of doing. Coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather, and I'll tell you what, there's a bipartisan bill to restore the child tax credit. Why don't they have it for the budget? Coming up.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on locally grown radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR, and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief. Much of the